morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 16th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. Just gathering a little last minute bits of information. We're going to kind of pick up where yesterday left off because it's fitting. It's appropriate today. There are stories floating around. I mentioned the divisiveness that is used to balkanize people, divide us on smaller and smaller, more and more specious lines, or into smaller and smaller groups. Divide and conquer is the strategy. And one of the ways that happens is by hijacking a person's views, an influential person. Once you're gone and unable to defend your views, it's not uncommon for those views to be hijacked. Well, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is certainly no exception. A man who, as I said yesterday, was able, you know, when you listen to him speak, he was a man who was able to bring people together in one big group hug, basically. And so let's listen to that famous speech that I believe probably was the death knell for Dr. King, the Beyond Vietnam speech, A Time to Break Silence, back in April, on April 4th, 1967. Here are the opening words that Dr. King gave.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to be here tonight, and how very delighted I am to see you expressing your concern about the issues that will be discussed tonight by turning out in such large numbers. I also want to say that I consider it a great honor to share this program with Dr. Bennett, Dr. Cominger, and Rabbi Heschel, some of the distinguished leaders and personalities of our nation. And of course, it's always good to come back to Riverside Church. Over the last 8 years, I have had the privilege of preaching here almost every year in that period. It is always a rich and rewarding experience to come to this great church and this great pulpit. I come to this magnificent house of worship tonight because my conscience leaves me no other choice. I join you in this meeting because I am in deepest agreement with the aims and work of the organization which has brought us together, clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam. The recent statement of your executive committee are the sentiments of my own heart, and I found myself in full accord when I read its opening lines. A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us in relation to Vietnam. The truth of these words is beyond doubt, but the mission to which they call us is a most difficult one. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, Men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom and in the surrounding world. Moreover, when the issues at hand seem as perplexing as they often do, in the case of this dreadful conflict, we are always on the verge of being mesmerized by uncertainty. But we must move on. Some of us who have already begun to break the silence of the night have found that the calling to speak is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must speak with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision. But we must speak. And we must rejoice as well, for surely this is the first time in our nation's history that a significant number of its religious leaders have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of a firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Perhaps a new spirit is rising among us. If it is, let us trace its movements and pray that our own inner being may be sensitive to its guidance. For we are deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around. Over the past 2 years, as I have
moved to break
the betrayal of my own sorrow.
There he is, in his own words, telling us, really, that we're all compelled to break the silence. And the battle is no different today than it was then, and it's not just for a certain class of folks in this society, really. But to kind of explain what I mean, let me back up a little bit and say Marx was a Marxist, but in most cases, one's influential views are inevitably surreptitiously hijacked once one is no longer around to defend them. Do you ever notice? Seldom, if ever, do we hear directly from the person in question these days. You know, for example, the incident of indiscretion over the DACA debate that has morphed into a thing of its own, where President Trump allegedly said something that there is no proof that he actually said. It all kind of stems from the Washington Post story that cited sources familiar with the hearing. They weren't actually there. And then from there, outlets like CNN reported that these folks were there and were actually quoting the president, when in fact, it seems that's not the case. But you don't hear in all of that, seldom do you actually hear directly from the voice. That might not be the best example, but it's one at the moment. The person's voice in question is drowned out, typically, it's overshadowed by the shouting back and forth. And again, the balkanization of people. And certainly we don't hear their voice in full context. Seldom, if ever. Martin Luther wasn't a Lutheran. John Calvin wasn't a Calvinist. Charles Darwin wasn't a Darwinian. That these men all questioned conventions of the day and made challenging and provocative statements is true enough. But to say they were identified by the kind of sclerotic thinking that has come to be known as eponymous or attributed to them is a complete contradiction, an oxymoron even. So it should come as no surprise to see the same agenda playing out with figures like Martin Luther King Jr. And Exhibit A is yesterday's Washington Post headline. I know it's no surprise, but this is what happens, and we need to be wise to it. Martin Luther King Jr. was a figure who, when he spoke, was very disarming and brought people together. He was a unifying figure. And, of course, if the slaves figure out that they can demand freedom, then the power elite, as C. Wright Mills might put it, would have a problem. So the Washington Post headline yesterday was MLK's scorn for white moderates, quote unquote, in his letter from jail, which is a complete misappropriation of the sentiments that he expressed, or certainly his intentions, in his letter from Birmingham jail that was leaked out in April of 1963. And even, you know, if you look around, just a simple cursory examination, E-Notes, for example, has this headline, this article, "What Was the Goal of the Letter from Birmingham Jail?" And mentions these words. Martin Luther King Jr. was seeking, from the vantage point of his jail cell, to both correct the misconceptions held by those clergy and to justify the tactics of nonviolent civil disobedience to which he subscribed. From Wikipedia, the letter defends the strategy of nonviolent resistance to racism. It says that people have a moral responsibility to break unjust laws and to take direct action rather than waiting potentially forever, as he pointed out in the letter, for justice to come through the courts. Responding to being referred to as an outsider, King writes, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." So, reading his words from the letter from Birmingham jail seemed to contradict the Washington Post headline. And really, the story contradicts the headline, which is not surprising, unfortunately. This is where we're at in America today. And this is kind of an age-old struggle. But the problem, as I see it, to get to the point, with or in the uphill battle we face, is perhaps primarily twofold. But before I address those two primary concerns, let's establish the battleground and its warriors, because today the battle is largely predicated on false precepts. We are engaged in an ideological battle entirely crafted, architected, engineered, and designed to be all but insurmountable, and the battleground, and thus the battle, is an end for the hearts and minds of the people, as perhaps it always has been. But above all, as we see in Ephesians 6, it is a spiritual battle. And the two major challenges in this battle also are engineered and orchestrated, used very effectively these days to perpetuate straw man arguments and perpetual conflict that balkanizes people. And the two main weapons of war, I would say, deception. The first is dialectical materialism, and the second is post-truth. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So, the battle and the battleground, it's a spiritual battle. And it's interesting, just on a kind of a side note, um, The Bible tells us in places like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read words like, let no one in any way deceive you. The day of the Lord, as Paul refers to it, let no one deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first. The apostasy, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That comes first. But then, skipping ahead, Paul says then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, which is quite a concept. We see that repeated in places like Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. So, this word, the spoken word, is powerful. It's interesting that researchers have discovered that these words create pictures. You know, scientists can sort of see the word pictures that a mind creates now, and they're priding themselves on getting better and better at refining that vision. You see that in a number of stories. It was something that Werner Herzog included in his documentary Lo and Behold. And this idea that words create pictures, the fact that music is a language that in many ways is far more descriptive than any spoken word. Do people really kind of sit back and ponder the fact that you can forget something you learned in school, but remember many of the songs and their lyrics that you were listening to casually while you were studying diligently the written word? So, these concepts have power, and this power has been wielded against people or leveraged against people. And because this is a spiritual battle that has a very intellectual component to it, if one is ill-equipped to fight the battle, then, as Sun Tzu observed, you have essentially lost before the battle begins. And that's really what is happening in this society. The precepts of critical thought and right thinking are really just kind of hidden from the general public. The idea of right and wrong has been vilified, but there is a right and wrong. In life, in general, there is a right, there is a wrong, there is an up, there is a down. We've been subjected to this moral relativism, and critical thought has all but been suspended, unfortunately. Stick around. We're right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back. So, what's going on here? We're talking about the prize of freedom and liberty. It's interesting that it's become easier and more comfortable to be a slave in America for just about everybody than it would be to be free. And this is an age-old subject. The Bible is concerned with it. In a variety of ways, you know, not just this temporal existence we're supposed to avoid even the appearance of evil and be good slaves when appropriate. But the issue of freedom and liberty is a provocative one in the Bible. Galatians chapter 2 has this note. There was some legalism Paul speaks of. Verse 3, Paul writes, "But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, but it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage." That's kind of the key to the whole point here. And so these false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. That's kind of what we're, same kind of thing we're dealing with in America, slightly different, but the bigger problem is, though we are largely literate in America, predominantly literate, we are functionally illiterate, and we don't understand the concept of being of sound mind. And so these two major challenges to winning a battle that most people don't even know exists, as I mentioned, are dialectical materialism and post-truth, which are weapons of ideological war that have been unleashed against people, while the people's own weapons are largely occluded. So what are those weapons? Well, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So it's the battle in your mind and the war is a spiritual war. So these battles that take place, they include weapons of the mind and words. As I said, words are obviously very powerful. We have the power of creation. We are endowed with that power by our Creator. So, and it manifests itself in a variety of ways. One of those is children. Another is the way that man makes things. He envisions it and creates a thing. But along similar lines, Ephesians 6 mentions that we are to put on the full armor of God. For what? For what purpose? So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And I think it's fitting that we began today's broadcast with Dr. Martin Luther King's words from his Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence speech on April 4, 1967. And we concluded his remarks or that excerpt with his words, "Perhaps a new spirit is rising among us. If it is, let us trace its movements and pray that our own inner being may be sensitive to its guidance, for we are deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around us." And I would say that creeping darkness that has been incrementally enveloping the globe for a long time is much closer around us now than then. So, again, getting back to the, you know, the operative concept here is freedom and liberty. And I'll just make this one final note in terms of biblical references. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is confronted by the devil in the wilderness. And at the end of that confrontation, we'll just call it a confrontation. At the end of that, Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him, Jesus, until an opportune time. See, the opportunism is a characteristic of the devil. But continuing, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit," capital S, "and news about him spread through all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him," Isaiah chapter 61 specifically. "And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" And that obviously caused quite a stir. But he was speaking, well, I would say that there are parallels to what I'm saying now. This, what he was speaking to is the broader context, and I leave it to the listener to search that matter out. But freedom on a smaller temporal scale and liberty is the same operative concept here. It has become easier to be a slave in America than it is to be free. It takes work, and most people are ill-equipped to do that work. I think that the Bible is an essential to that, and as I have said in the past, in my view, it is what you might call in coding terms or computer jargon a self-replicating error-correcting code. So that's not a bad thing. It helps, it promotes right thinking. But right thinking is being vilified in a variety of ways. Very subtle, very undetectable, I think. Undetected by most. It's the same story, though. The point is, the parallel here is the Judaizers in Galatians chapter 2 that are secretly brought in to spy out liberty and place these folks under bondage. We had an opportunity in America to be the greatest civilization the world has ever known, and it is inescapable in that context. The intellectual pursuits of the general populace, we can't dismiss that and believe that we will have freedom. So anyway, critical thinking, right thinking, the knowledge that there is a right and wrong have been attacked and subverted. Right thinking is all but occluded in this society. We don't learn about the things that we should be learning about. We don't have substantive dialogue on issues of the day. You'll notice that when leaders are confronted, bad guy leaders, that is, who I believe have, are essentially working to keep people enslaved, first and foremost in their minds, they have, as the book The Club of Rome pointed out, they have worked through their talking points. They disagree very little. When you listen to the bickering back and forth on mainstream news, even the seemingly most deeply divided partisan folks, they differ very little. They support things like central banking, both. They support big government. How big is, a nuanced difference? They support a heavy and progressive income tax, which is communist. And they disagree very little. Those disagreements, I would say, really kind of amount to nuances. But the big issues that should be challenged are never even brought up. So the two major challenges, to get to the point, you will see them, I think, everywhere if they're spoken to. And so I'm going to speak to those challenges. The two major challenges that are kind of foisted upon the people are, one, dialectical materialism, and two, post-truth. So dialectical materialism is, put simply, the Marxist theory that political and historical events arise from social conflict, ostensibly caused by material needs, and are as such interpretable as a series of contradictions, thesis, and antithesis, and their so-called solutions or synthesis. And as Karl Marx put it in the Communist Manifesto, the history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles. But see, what's left out of that is the plotters. This class struggle, there's usually, especially in contemporary history, there's someone behind this that's plotting to pit folks against one another and play them off against one another. And this is the unfortunate reality that we find ourselves in today. I mentioned the hijacking of ideas. Dr. Martin Luther King's sentiments is no different. This has been institutionalized in operations like the FBI's COINTELPRO, where you come up with a great idea, you are influential, you're a person who draws folks together, and then all of a sudden you're infiltrated, attacked, subverted, and those ideas are used, are hijacked essentially. PatCon is another example. Patriot Conspiracy, the FBI's operation. But why is this happening? So right thinking would tell us these organizations and whoever's in charge of these operations should be suspect, should be called into question, and probably done away with. We should do away with those operations and the folks who have been at the center of creating these operations should be pulled from their positions of power, to say the very least. They're no different than the Judaizers of Galatians 2, secretly brought in to spy out our liberty and place us back in bondage. So to see the conflict, that is wielded upon people or foisted upon people, this dialectical materialism nonsense, is to be able to step back from it. It's difficult, though, I admit. Someone like Martin Luther King Jr., very different. And again, like I said yesterday, whatever your criticism of his personal predilections, I'm not even going to get into that or speculate on any of that. It's hard to argue listening to him that he didn't have an apprehension of this concept of right thinking and the challenge that we face as a society, and not just a certain group of people. But again, that's why I point to the Washington Post headline from yesterday, which is very divisive. It seeks to divide people, obviously. Martin Luther King Jr.'s scorn for white moderates in his Birmingham jail letter. That's a very divisive sounding headline. And what's ironic, again, is that the story doesn't seem to justify the headline. Why do you suppose that is? I ask rhetorically. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So let's just kind of quit being existential and let's dive in a little bit. And this subject matter is very, I don't know, sort of elusive and intangible, it seems. So another one of the counterparts to this concept of dialectical materialism, class conflict, really. And there are numerous counterparts. The history history and class consciousness studies in Marxist dialectics is something to read. A 1923 book by Hungarian philosopher Gyorgy Lukacs, in which he reemphasizes Hegel's influence on Karl Marx. And, you know, this whole kind of discussion is sort of convoluted. Again, even Hegel wasn't necessarily his ideas were drawn into a broader discussion. Fido was actually the guy who coined this phrase of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. This concept was not the Hegelian dialectic, but really the Fido dialectic. And Johann Gottlieb Fido was an old school bad guy who, again, you know, like most of these guys, their work being fused together, just trying to control people. That's really what it comes down to. So skipping forward, it's that concept of spying out the liberty of folks. If folks would just band together in the fashion that Martin Luther King Jr. was advocating and demand their freedom, as he put it from in his letter from Birmingham jail, then things would change. And that's what needs to happen instead of being distracted by all of this controversy and conflict. The way he put it in his letter, we know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. And he was speaking to the criticism. He was answering the criticism in his letter. He said, "Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed." See, there were folks criticizing the timing of his efforts. And he wrote, "Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed," quote unquote, "in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation." So the point here is, we know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. In fact, it is usually withheld and violently opposed to being granted. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast.